So they said, you have to finish strong. How do you do it? And I said, get Zach Cohen.
Yep, good call.
Because he lives this stuff like Greg Giroux 24/7, and Mr. Cohen joins us here today. Zach, I opened the morning talking of 1994. I viscerally remember exactly the air in the room that evening. Is this election a 1994?
Most elections since 1994 have been in a 1994. They've been a referendum on the incumbent president's party. Only two, really, since then, the 2002 and 1998, where you have seen the president's party actually gain seats. And so if we see Republicans pick up seats tonight, especially in the House, as we expect we do, then absolutely you'll see a very similar trend happen.
Things have tightened up. I, by chance this morning, of all the interesting races, turned to Ohio, Tim Ryan of Youngstown, and an author named Vance. I get that. But it's amazing the quick turn we've seen in the last number of days. Did you expect to see that quick turn where Republicans did better than good in the polling?
I think that typically happens. The closer you get to an election, you've got voters kind of come home to roost. You know, they'll consider the Democrats. They'll consider the independents. Democrats do the same thing with Republicans or independents. But in this era of highly charged partisan politics, it makes it much harder to convince people to sort of cross over in party lines. And so the closer and closer you get to the election, the more likely that folks are going to say, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and vote for the party that I've always voted for.
Hey, Zach, I'm a big fan of the state of Las Vegas, particularly the little town known as Las Vegas. They love me down there. But I understand that's a key race here. Talk to us about Nevada.
Yeah, Nevada probably per capita has seen the most spending of any other state, just because it's not just a Senate race there. Senator Catherine Cortez Masto up for re-election against Adam Laxalt, the Republican. But you've got three key House races, all based in the Las Vegas market. You've got a governor's race. And because Clark County, which holds Las Vegas, is where most of Nevada's population lives, they've just been bombarded with advertising over the last couple of weeks.
But is young Laxalt anything related to older Laxalt? Or has the Republican Party moved on to a new Laxalt, to maybe a reinvigorated new Trump and the rest?
Yeah, other than being sort of the grandson of a senator and the son of a senator, I think, you know, Laxalt's Republican Party is very different than the one that his grandfather's was. Laxalt is very closely tied to former President Donald Trump and was very keen on questioning the election results in Nevada in 2020. And that has been sort of the way he has made a name for himself.
Mike Gallen had out on Axios this morning, sort of writing up like first thing to look back at Spanberger of, I believe, Virginia, you know, a congressional race and that. What will you look at? It's 7 p.m. Zach Cohen, what will you look at 9 p.m.? What will you look at 2 a.m. with David Weston with our election coverage?
Yeah, certainly Virginia is going to be some of the first key battlegrounds we can watch, because polls close at 7 in Virginia, where you've got Abigail Spanberger, who's running in mostly a new district in the Washington suburbs. I know I've been watching the World Series and it's been bombarded with Spanberger ads, you know, for and against her. And certainly Jennifer Wexton, similarly, and then Elaine Luria down in Virginia Beach will be another really key bellwether.
That's one I'm watching. Yeah, yeah. Why is Elaine Luria so interesting? Explain that. That's Paul, that's Dennis Gartman territory.
It's
sort of like
okay.
Military Southeast Virginia. Explain that one race.
Exactly. It is the median district. If you took all of the toss-up races and looked at the most evenly divided, I forget exactly whether it was pro-Biden or Trump in 2020, but it was right in the middle. And so it's a good one to watch tonight. And again, that's the second district with Luria and Jen Kiggins.
Yeah. Hey, Zach, you know, the great state or the great Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, I mean, you got the town of brotherly love. You've got Happy Valley out there with Penn State. You got the Poconos. How does that state go? Because, boy, I've seen we're just bombarded with that kind of TV ad in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, certainly the sort of top of the ticket is the Senate race, right, between John Fetterman, the Democratic lieutenant governor, and Dr. Mehmet Oz, the Republican nominee backed by Trump. And that's certainly, I think, the narrowest contest for the Senate right now. And then you've got a governor's race on top of that, a couple of House races up, not just in Philadelphia, like you mentioned, the city of brotherly love, but also up in the Scranton area as well as Pittsburgh. The really, I think, key thing to watch there is it's going to take a while to get results there, because election officials can't actually start counting mail-in ballots in Pennsylvania until polls close. It's going to take a couple of days probably to get real results there. So don't be fooled by a quote-unquote red mirage in Pennsylvania, where you start to see a lot of Republican votes tabulated on election day and then mail-in ballots that probably skew Democratic in the next couple of days.
Is mail-in hit a tipping point this time around? Is it where pre-voting, if as an amateur I'm talking, is pre-voting now dominant?
I think it's definitely growing in popularity. I think it probably won't reach the same levels that we saw in 2020 when people were voting more from home because we were in the throes of the pandemic. Exactly. But probably, you know, a lot of people see that and see how easy it was and then realize they don't want to go back to in-person voting. So it's probably somewhere between 2018, 2020 levels.
Don't be a stranger tomorrow. Zach Cohen, thank you so much for joining us. We're really driving forward our election coverage.